This is Content Talks on the 5x5 Network. This episode is sponsored by WebTrends Analytics 10, the all-in-one analytics package for mobile apps, social media, and websites. If you get a brand new version, you can go to webtrends.com to check them out today. And by MailChimp.com, making it easy to design email newsletters, share them on social networks, and integrate with the web services you already use. There are some really cool integrations like social sharing, integration with Facebook, and more, and you can send 12,000 emails a month to a list of up to 2,000 subscribers. Check them out, MailChimp.com.
Hello, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Content Talks, where we talk about things like content strategy and other things about content. And today I have with me Ms. Carrie Hain-Dennison. Carrie is the Content and Usability Director at Balance Interactive. I invited Carrie to come on the show after I saw her deck, her presentation deck from the IA Summit recently. So I am delighted to have her. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Christina.
I'm talking about you like you're not here. Sorry. So Carrie, let's talk about kind of your job and the work that you do at Balance Interactive first. And then after we are, and then I think we can kind of segue into your presentation, which was called Content Strategy on a Shoestring Budget, which is sort of one of the number one questions I get asked everywhere I speak. What if we don't have any money? So really excited to get to that. But let's start with your role. Well, first, tell me a little bit about Balance Interactive.
All right. Well, Balance is a we're a full service web development firm outside Washington, D.C. And we I've been there for 6 years. And over that time, we have grown from being a couple people creating some websites to a full service agency.
How many people did you say you have, like 40 people there?
We have, I think, about 24 to 30. I kind of have lost track.
Yeah, but that's a good size agency where you can really sort of like come to the table with full services for your clients.
Yes. Yep. And we offer content services, design services, development, IA, user testing, the full gambit.
And what kind of clients do you guys work with?
We have all different types of clients. We have quite a few associations and nonprofits. Being in D.C., that's kind of the bread and butter around here. We have other kind of medium-sized companies and a few government, local government agencies, and municipalities, and everything in between.
Yeah. Wow. So talk to me.
Yeah, we don't concentrate on any.
Yeah.
Thing in particular.
Yeah. You know, we don't do that at Brain Traffic either. And it's just so much more interesting and exciting with every new project we enter than rather if we were just doing the same, like we were always medical devices or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes coming to work more fun. So, hey, talk to me about your role then as Content and Usability Director. I will tell you, I have never heard that title being used and it excites me.
Well, yeah. A few years ago when we were, starting to really take ourselves seriously and as being an agency and not just a company that did websites, someone said, you know, people don't have the right titles here. We don't really know what anybody does. So we all had to come up with a title for ourselves. And so I did the content stuff and other usability stuff. So,
how did you come up with the title content and use?
And that was when user experience was starting to be used as a term of what people did or what companies did.
Sure, sure.
And the other people didn't really like that term for some reason.
You mean in your agency?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't remember.
Oh, well, all right.
They felt like it was too cliche or too general. It didn't really mean anything to our clients.
Sure.
At that time, our clients were still pretty small and didn't understand all the parts of what goes into a good website.
Mm-hmm.
So we just said, okay, well, I guess since you do content, but we didn't want to just do content. And they wanted to use director because there's three of us that have the same level job.
Mm-hmm.
Director had to be in there. But I did more than just content. I wanted to create usable sites, and that was my focus, was all the usability aspects. Does the design work? Are we going to do testing? Are we everything about usability to make usable sites? So we included the usability since we didn't have anyone else that focused on that.
How did you begin to kind of marry up the your work that you were doing in usability and content? Was it content planning? Was it content development? Was it larger scale? Was it like copy on interfaces? How did that kind of marriage come about in your work?
Yeah, it started with the writing of the content. We were doing sites, we were migrating them, and I was just sick of putting old content on new sites that was horrible.
That is often the birth of a content strategist right there.
And so at the time, the easiest way was to just say, hey, let us write some pages on your site instead of just giving us the content and we copy and paste it. So that was kind of the easiest thing because it was the most tangible and easy for people to understand what was happening, and we could do it before and after examples and things like that. So we use that as a segue to saying content makes your site usable along with a nice design and functions that work properly.
And how did your clients respond to that? Because clients are like, thank you for coming on. When are we going to see wireframes and visual concepts?
Exactly. We kind of put the writing at the end, which really wasn't the right place, but at least we got it in there. They were very hesitant. It took us a while. Once we made that decision we wanted to do that, it took us a while to find a client that would let us do it because they were like, oh, well, we don't have the money for that. That's not important. We can do that. And so we slowly found clients that understood what we were trying to tell them and didn't believe that they already had the greatest content in the world.
So tell me about how that started. I mean, when you went in and you started talking to clients like, okay, we want to help you create this site experience, or we want to help you improve your online presence. And we really think that that means doing some significant focused work on your content, on the quality of it, on the relevance of it, and so on. You know, who were you talking to at these agencies? Was it marketing people, communications people, CMS people? Who were you having these kind of conversations with to sort of bring them into the fold?
Yeah, I don't actually do much of the sales myself, so I'm going to guess at those based on who we actually work with in the end. Most of the people, I think, during the sales process were marketing people and sometimes vice presidents or even CEOs if it was a smaller company.
Mm-hmm.
But not IT people, which mm-hmm. is good because they would probably never have bought it. So it was, I would say probably mostly marketing people and some executives.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really a very incremental process of, trying various avenues or, ways to get that in and make people understand, and constantly revising how we approached it.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. you know, there was no magic bullet. It was trial and error and finding the right clients.
Yeah, totally.
You know, there's a lot to be, you know, there's sometimes you fire your client, sometimes you don't even respond to an RFP. So we started looking for the clients who would at least mention content in their RFP.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was a big thing too, is finding the right clients to sell it to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we have definitely had, I mean, at Brain Traffic, obviously all we do is content strategy, but it is amazing to me how many people will call and want, they don't want the strategic consultation. They want production, which is
right.
Basically exactly what you described, like taking content off the old CMS and migrating it over to the new one. So, but we have also seen sort of an uptick in how educated people are about what it is. So I think that, I mean, just from talking to you, I do not know of very many agencies in general who have sort of been growing and pushing a content strategy practice. And I'm always excited to talk to people who have been kind of leading that charge with both their coworkers and their clients. So one of the things that, so who was it? Kevin Hoffman. Was it Kevin Hoffman that invited you to speak at the IS Summit?
Well, no.
No, well, tell me about how you got that speaking spot.
Yeah, I had attended several local meetups that had content strategy aspect. And one in particular, right before deadlines were due for submitting the submissions for the IA Summit, I came away from it and said, you know, people were asking questions that I could answer and the speakers couldn't. And I said to my boss, I'm like, you know what? It's not that I can't learn anything more, but I'm not learning anything from these. So I'm finally convinced that I need to go out and start telling more people what I would tell people, talk to one or two people after a meetup or a seminar. And so I said, if I can speak, will you pay for me to go? And she said, yes. So on the plane to Arizona for Thanksgiving break, I wrote my proposal. with the idea of what people were always asking is, how do I convince people we need to do this? And what if we don't have a budget for this? Those were the questions everyone was asking. You know, it was great. Okay, you know, everybody got it that was in the room because obviously they were interested in it, but they didn't know what to do with it then. And I had done that, so I wanted to share. And then, so I submitted it and went through some processes. They had volunteers that helped us edit our submissions mm-hmm. and focus them. So I worked with someone to do that, and then was selected to participate.
And was this your first national speaking gig?
This is my first speaking gig ever.
Shut up. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
I didn't get that when we first talked.
I moderated a panel, a local little presentation panel last spring. But this was my first real public speaking thing. I think the last time I gave a presentation is like in grad school 15 years ago.
Seriously, I have to totally commend you for... I wrote down this quote that you said, which is that, you know, people in the audience were asking the speakers questions that the speakers couldn't answer, but I could. And that's kind of what, you know, was the catalyst for you to get on stage. And I just think that's just great. That's just, I mean, congratulations. I just think that sort of level of confidence of just recognizing that there was a need for this story and this advice and taking the responsibility to step up and share it. I just really admire that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk about your presentation that I am so in love with. So you sit down with the client and the client doesn't have any money, or you're talking to an agency member who says, we can't do that, or the client doesn't have any money or want to pay for it. Where do you start?
Well, it's we see where we can fit it in without changing the budget, where we can move things around within the budget we're given. So internally, you know, can we take a little money from over here, a little money from over here? Can we do spend a couple hours less on the design and use it for this? And that's really how we started, was just kind of stealing money from other places until we could sell it as a line item.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really how we started, just the small things, doing the content inventory and then creating that into a worksheet or matrix. People have lots of different names for the what Karen McGrain calls the spreadsheet of doom or spreadsheet of terror.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we just did the little things that weren't visible to the client necessarily, but helped us implement the content. So it was more the implementation and the migration is where we started, with internally my vision of how I thought this should be. And then we started selling, and then I said, you know, we really need to be doing a content strategy. So we found a client that was willing to let us do that.
When was that, just out of curiosity?
That was, the first one was in the fall of 2009.
Okay.
So, and then once we did one, we gained the confidence that this was, and got the feedback of how this was really great, and just kept growing it from there. And we keep expanding those various services to include having a content strategist, i.e. me, be a part of every phase and aspect of the project so that we're coming back to, okay, well, does that really make sense for what they want to do? And making sure the client agrees and has let us know everything that they want to express on their website through their content.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to put words in your mouth here, but what I'm hearing, when you say you're involved in every single phase of the project, I think that especially smaller agencies are, as they're growing, the clients want to save the content till last. Like you said, that's not what you wanted to do, but it's kind of what happens because there's no money and no time. So you have advocated for someone who is content focused to be in the room from the beginning to ensure that the right content focused questions are being asked.
Yes.
And what are some of those questions? So if because we do, I mean, people have kind of protocol for user experience research and user research and design and so on. But what are some of the key questions if you really want to get a client thinking about their content early in the process? What are some of the things that you need to ask them?
Well, it's hard. This is where it's evolving and what mm-hmm. I'm working on now. sometimes we start with the FAQs, which
sure,
we don't put on
sure.
the site, but there are frequently asked questions. And we say, what are they? And okay,
those are kind of symptomatic, aren't they? Everything else is going on.
And I can't tell you how many times I have to answer that question. You didn't include the FAQ on the sitemap. Why not?
Right.
And I think 95% of the time we have convinced them that they don't need one.
Why don't they need one?
Because if they answer the frequently asked questions in the content, they don't need to have one page for it.
Excellent answer. I concur.
And I do remember reading a blog, one of someone at Brain Traffic,
Megan Casey,
about that.
Yeah.
And I was laughing and nodding the whole time.
Yeah.
So, are we answering those questions? What is, we look at the web stats. What are the top things people want to do on your site now based on what's there now? Are we doing that? Do you have new products? I can't tell you how many times they won't bring up a product that's launching next month
mm-hmm.
or something that's the bread and butter of their business plan expansion, but it doesn't come up until we start talking about the content strategy,
mm-hmm.
which is still early, but they missed it in that they didn't tell the project manager during the web strategy. We had one client that didn't even tell us they were rebranding themselves.
Oh yeah.
And that didn't come out till design.
We didn't laugh. But everyone has had that. I mean, everyone has had that where it's like the 11th hour. And by the way, we're rolling out new global brand standards that we're going to need to implement throughout the site. And you just go home and weep.
So I think, some of the questions are really basic. Or while I'm talking to them, they'll say something and I won't understand it because I'm not there. I'm not part of their company.
Right.
And so I'll ask them to explain that more. And then I'll say, do you think everyone that comes to your website is going to understand that? Or do we need to present that in a different way? I think that really helps being an outsider
mm-hmm.
because we're not, by the end, we're insiders again.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But at the beginning, we're the outsider and we're asking kind of the dumb questions
mm-hmm.
That need to be answered on the website because mm-hmm. there's always new people and there's people who don't speak the same jargon.
Mm-hmm,
so mm-hmm. I feel like I just ask the really obvious questions and listen to what they're saying and extrapolate from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a magic formula.
Mm-hmm.
I just try to use my power of reasoning and analysis to ask them the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's really what it is, just making sure that I've picked their brains enough
mm-hmm.
and translated that into website content.
I think, and what you're describing is the role of a consultant. I mean, you're describing the role of a strategic consultant who is digging in and finding the answers and then making determinations about, okay, there's our goal and here's how we're going to use content to get there. And my experience is that has sort of been a shift in mindset for a lot of people who have been focusing on content. content usability, content and IA, you know, where these are folks who understand and really put content at the center of the user experience, that they're refocusing on, oh, wait, I'm not just a content planner or I'm not just the editor here. I actually need to be asking these deeper questions that people are just skimming over early in the process. So I think that helping to reframe people's mindsets that they have to act like consultants is really critically important.
Yeah.
I had a woman that I talked to at a meetup recently, and she said, the question that has changed my entire career or the way I do my work is just to ask clients, tell me more about that. Like, that's the magic phrase somehow.
Yes. Yes. I say something like that a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so, okay. So I'm worked up. I'm hyped up about content strategy. I want to implement it. If you had to say, here are sort of three or four stealthy, sneaky things that you can do for content, you know, to begin to introduce content strategy in your web building process, what would those things be? Like, if you're going to start stealing money and getting a little budget, like, where would you begin focusing that?
I think starting with a content inventory or an audit, depending on the size of the site or what the goal is, because that gives you a baseline. It lets you look at it and say, okay, we're missing something, or we have too much, or it's outdated, or it's looking at the pages and saying, wow, that content on that page isn't useful.
Wow.
Because that forces people to really look. I mean, I don't know how many times we've done a content inventory and then we send it to the client, say, hey, look this over, and we give them two tasks. One, which they almost never follow this direction, is add any pages that you want that would be new of content you have that's not already on your website. So mm-hmm. we don't know about it. Mm-hmm. They hardly ever do that.
I just have to pause and ask, what is the objective of asking them that? Like, is there other content that exists that you want on this site? Are you framing that in terms of like site objectives, or is that just kind of, we need to know what else you have to work with?
Both.
Yeah.
Because some of our clients can't update their own website. Mm-hmm. Because they're locked into a CMS that it has to be updated by a vendor and they have to pay extraordinary amounts. So sometimes they haven't updated their site in 6 months or a year. And so we don't know what else they've done. And they usually will tell us, oh, we have all this stuff we want to put online, but we can't do it. So we want that documented, because we use the inventory, helps us do the site map. And then also to see those groups of, okay, what content do they have? Where are we starting? Because, you know, we can only look at a few web pages, you know, at a time by themselves. And so we do that. And then we also ask them to say, do you want to move this or not?
Right.
Which is very helpful, because, you know, they get rid of whole sections sometimes because they don't do that program anymore, mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that helps. And I find even then we have to go back and say, yeah, you don't want this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it really helps the client. It gets them really thinking about their content and not as this thing that's up on their computer screen.
Right.
But when they see it in a format, which is an Excel spreadsheet that they're more familiar with, it starts making more sense.
Isn't that crazy that such a simple tool can have such a tremendous impact? That is always like one of the top things that I say to people, just start here, show people what they have to work with, show them what a mess it is. And I also call that kind of inspiration via like shame and fear, the spreadsheet of doom. So let's say then that, well, tell me about some of the other highlights of your presentation. What were the recommendations that you were making to people?
So that was the first thing, and that's kind of the first assignment we give our clients as well. Because they always want to get started right away.
Oh yeah.
So here, okay, do some homework.
Yeah.
And that, because nothing else depends on, we can just do that right away. So that's the first thing we do to get a project started, so we can start right away. And then after that, we do the content, we do a web strategy brief. And then for more and more projects, we're doing a separate content strategy brief.
And what is that? What kind of things does that contain?
That contains an analysis of their site. Is it scannable? Is it readable? Is it objective? Just the kind of the writing style, you know.
So an editorial analysis.
An editorial analysis plus a really brief audience analysis. Like these are really tight summary of their audience, because people think of their audience a lot different than what their audience usually is.
Yep.
And then where there's gaps, we always, as part of our web strategy, we do a competitive analysis of three competitors or complementary sites. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I take that and figure out where there's gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they can do. And then, so there's an analysis portion. Those two, I kind of fit into the analysis portion. And their message. What is their message, and is the website telling that message?
Mm-hmm.
And then taking all of that and saying, okay, here are specific recommendations for what you need to do going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And prioritizing them, because we all know that there's a finite amount of money and time.
Mm-hmm.
So I prioritize those. So, and then we talk about it. I put this all together, and before we send it to them, I have conversations to make sure I've gotten all the recommendations correct and mm-hmm. a few other questions that might come up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a deliverable. That's kind of, well, they see the inventory, and then the strategy is a deliverable. And, you know, a lot of clients are focused on the deliverable. And so as long as you're feeding them deliverables, they're happy.
Isn't that crazy?
And so they're still going, well, when are we going to get to the design? But,
oh, sure.
You know, we at least say, okay, well, we have all these milestones and deliverables that help put them off
mm-hmm.
the design. So that's something else. That is something, you don't have to do, you know, you don't have to spend 10, 12 hours on that. I can spend 2 hours on that. It's mm-hmm. not, it's more general, but at least it's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of what my presentation was like, okay, well, here's the ideal. This is what you can do if you have a bigger budget. And here's what you can do if you have no or very little budget.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, you might be able to steal 2 hours. You know, that might be your lunch hour if you're internal. That you could analyze, do a 2-page analysis of your site. And that just provides the framework for going forward with the content.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then creating the sitemap that is part of IA, and then we create the wireframes and this is something I heard over and over, at the summit was, put real content in the wireframes.
Mm.
Start thinking about what is going to go there. Depending on how many wireframes, that might only take an hour.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Instead of putting lorem ipsum, which always makes people go, what language is that? I can't read that.
Isn't that crazy?
They can't see anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
So we write, you know, this call out might say this, and it's going to be 100 characters, not 300. To just focus that. And that also gets the client thinking about content. You know, we present it as example content or sample and not final.
Mm-hmm.
They question it. But a lot of times that just gets them to focus more on what is going to be on a page.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another really simple thing that you can do as part of something else you're already doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the place where we couldn't save was on that worksheet, the matrix. But that has future benefits. It mm-hmm. kind of pays for itself later.
Mm-hmm.
We found when we really, really focus on this, our build time is lower, mm-hmm. is less. We have fewer redos. We have fewer mistakes because we're planning for it. We're thinking of it before we're actually putting the content in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And before we're even rewriting the content. So, that's how we present that was, you know, this is, you know, we did one yesterday and, we came up with a list of 10 questions that hadn't been covered yet. And this is just for a migration.
Right.
We're not doing a strategy. All we're doing is moving to them to a new CMS with a few tweaks to make it easier for them to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, and it is a really good site. They've really thought about it. So that helps. But you know, just for that, when we're not even doing content strategy, it helps them going forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and then writing, we do the spec sheets, which, you were, what you had presented in a webinar a couple of years ago were the inspiration for that. With, I think you call them page tables.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we do those and, you know, sure, you could spend 2 or 3 hours on each one for as many pages as you want. Or you could do just a couple pages so people can see the benefit mm-hmm. of it. And then and present those to the client. They review them. It's easier for them. I have a hard time. It's sort of easier for them to review it in Word, but they're still not seeing it on the web page.
Yeah, so yep. It's easier for them to review in context of
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm.
And then, but they can see what's on the page. And so the other way to save is... even, you know, just give the client the template. At least then you have the right elements,
mm-hmm.
say 50 characters or 500,
mm-hmm.
and so they're not writing crazy stuff.
Yeah, I should mention too to listeners that I write about page tables in my book, Content Strategy for the Web. That was, and then Aaron Kassane also has a terrific article on alistapart.com on, I think she calls them page templates. So there's more and more work being done in that. And that is always, I have to say, when I give a presentation, that's always the one that people are just like, oh my God, this was worth the entire hour I had to sit through your yammering. But it is a really powerful tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Carrie, go ahead.
Yeah, there's all those things. You can do a big, great, great, big giant thing, or you can just do bits and pieces, what you can, whatever it is you can steal.
And what is that going to improve at the end of the day? If you can do a little bit more, what will that improve?
Yeah. It just improves the usability of the site. That's really what it's about, is making the site usable, and the content makes that usable. Using the right words in the right places, it makes the flow better. It sets the table for improvements,
mm-hmm.
because you've already made people think about it and they understand now why, because there's been education all along the way of why this is being done,
mm-hmm.
and there's back and forth, you know, nothing is in a vacuum. So mm-hmm. I feel like at the end, our clients know more about what makes a good website.
Yep.
And it's not flashing letters scrolling across the screen. So, and then
I have to say that any agency too who that's kind of your end goal is to help the client is to educate the client so that when it's time for you to go, they have a better understanding of what quality online experience is. That's pretty stellar.
Yes. So, yeah, so it's just a better website that people can use and will continue to use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I hate sucky websites.
I, too, hate sucky websites.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I hate suckywebsites.com. I don't know why. Whenever somebody says something funny like that, I always think immediately, I wonder if the .com is available. I'm always looking for my next... you know, hit pay dirt with some URL that I can, you know, sit on.
Well, there's that web pages that suck. Is that still around? Do you remember?
I don't know. I'm going to go and look. we'll roll it over to Content Strategy to the Rescue.
Yeah.
.com. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining me today. A lot of the stuff that you've talked about, I know that our listeners are going to be just really excited to go back and kind of pick and choose some of those tactics and start to introduce them into their own processes. It really does kind of come down to just doing some stealthy work and picking off some budget from here and there to begin to ask the right questions about your content. So thanks for sharing your expertise with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us on another Content Talks podcast. We're posting these every Thursday with 5x5 TV. And we'll see you next week.